Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody this morning. I want to say just a few words about prayer this morning before we get into the service. People say, well, why pray if everything's predestined already? Well, because the Lord works by prayer. look at Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, and we read verses, begin reading in verse 11. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. I already know those things. I already know my determinations toward you. I know what I'm going to do with you. Not up to you. Saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace toward his people, toward the election of grace. And not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. That's the way prayer works. The Lord puts a prayer in our heart according to his determinate counsel. And we pray, and he answers our prayer. Look at Ezekiel chapter 36. And let's begin reading at verse 36. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it.
Amen.
Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel. I'm going to put it in their heart to pray, to ask me for what I intend to give them, for what is according to my purpose. And it'll be a prayer from the heart, and it will be an effectual, fervent prayer. Because it's the gift of God. To do for them, I will increase them like men of a flock. Now look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 24. For we're saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. In other words, if I already have it in my hand, I don't hope for it. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He intercedes from within. He put a prayer. He puts a prayer in our heart according to His will. Now, there's one more place I'd like you to turn, but I don't exactly know where it is. It's Job chapter 42. And it's where the Lord told Job, and we can turn and look for it, but I'll not do that. It's where the Lord told Job concerning his miserable comforters. He told Job, now you pray for them. I'll accept your prayer, but not theirs. So Job prayed for them, and all turned out according to the will of God. So God works effectually by prayer.
Yes, He does.
And He gives us experience with Him in prayer according to that which He has purposed for us from the foundation of the world, according to our communion in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, and that brings me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, now that's the communion cup. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one body, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Now, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. And we'll begin reading in verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb slain, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now, to this generation of religious people, those words are strange words. Who verily, who truly was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Well, they will allow that the Lord Jesus was foreordained, but that's about all. They don't figure anything else was foreordained. But He was foreordained to something for someone. Now, He was ordained to the office, to all the offices that He holds in the covenant of grace. Prophet, priest, king, all the offices of His mediation. He is the surety of the New Testament. And all of the government of this world and of His church hangs on His shoulder. The government shall be upon His shoulder. And to all of this was He foreordained before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
To that office and for all those purposes, that He should save His people from their sins. So he was ordained to those things, and he was ordained to those things for someone, and it was for the children of the covenant that God had given him in that covenant of grace according to the counsel of peace before the foundation of the world. God is of one mind, and who can turn it? And whatsoever his soul desireth, that he doeth. So our Lord Jesus Christ was foreordained from before the foundation of the world to come into this world to bring the Lord's people to him. He shall bring many sons to glory. But he wasn't ordained alone. That wasn't the only foreordination that was going on in eternity past. Look at Acts 13:48. Acts 13:48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now the Lord Jesus Christ was ordained to be a Savior, and God had ordained some to be the objects of his saving work. Those who were ordained to eternal life were given to the Lord Jesus Christ of the Father in the days of eternity in the covenant of grace. Amen. Now, why did God do that? Well, he did it for his own glory. In other words, to show the glory of his love, the glory of his determined counsel, of his purpose and grace, that he never fails in whatever he sets out to do, to magnify his redemptive character, to display all of the perfections of his divine attributes and to set them on open display in the Lord Jesus Christ and to make them known by the church. Amen. For it was for his glory. Secondly, it is for the good of those whom he loved. He told Jeremiah, "Yea, I have the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you." Then in John chapter 17:23, we are told that the Father, that not just the Father, but the three in one, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, loved the elect in Christ as he loved Christ Jesus. We were in Christ Jesus. We were chosen in Christ Jesus by the Father before from all eternity. And he gave us to him. And the Lord Jesus Christ betrothed us unto himself. Well, let's look at those scriptures. We looked at them 1,000 times, but they're always worth looking at. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. We'll begin reading in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Now, he's talking about somebody in particular. Us. And that's not everybody. That's not all men. That's us. And the us is the church of God, the elect of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Now, so the Father chose us according to his everlasting love, and he said he accepted us in his purpose and grace from eternity, gave us to the Lord Jesus Christ, and appointed the Lord Jesus Christ to be our surety and Savior to bring us to glory. The Lord Jesus Christ, for his part, took that group of people and espoused them to himself. Look at Isaiah 54:4. And let's begin our reading in verse 54:1. Now this is the church as pictured in Sarah. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, for thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt break forth, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. look at Hosea chapter 2. Verse 19. I will betroth thee unto me forever. Now when he says, I will betroth thee, I think the sense of the scripture is that he has and will let us know about it. Let those who are of that number, let them know that they are betrothed. For we know that he betrothed them unto himself in that covenant union from all eternity. He engaged to be an husband unto them. I will betroth thee unto me forever, yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and loving kindness and in mercy. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And then the Holy Spirit, for his part, look at 1 John chapter 2. Before we read that, let me turn back to another scripture in the Psalms and read it, and then we'll read that together. This is Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, when was that union established? And who's that union with? That union was established before the foundation of the world. And that union is with the Lord Jesus Christ, and in Him, with Him, and through Him, our union with the Father. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Now, in our experience, look at 1 John 2:20. But ye have an anointing. But ye have an unction. Well, the unction was purposed for us and given us according to that purpose without beginning. We were anointed. We were joined to Christ in covenant union from everlasting. We were betrothed to Him from everlasting. And we have this anointing that was poured out on the head, went down to His beard, and even down to the skirts of His garment. Christ, the head, and all the body are under this anointing. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We have an anointing. Now, the only reason that you believe is because of this anointing. If God left it up to you and to me, we'd be just like the rest of this religious world. It'd be all about what I can do. And I'd be worried about what I have to do. And I'd be of that you got a generation. You got to do this, you got to do that. Do, 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 do. But none of it's of my purpose. Because I don't have any eternal purposes. I wasn't thinking before the foundation of the world, and I wasn't even thinking when I was dead in trespasses and sin. But God moved all of this cause according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. And how sure is this purpose of God? Well, it endured through the flood. It endured through the creation. It endured through the fall. It endured through my personal rebellion against God. It endured through my own sinfulness until the time appointed of the Father, and then He gave me the free gifts of His grace that He had determined from all eternity, and let me know that He had given them because He let me believe on His Son. Salvation ain't of you. salvation is of the Lord. Now, if the fall didn't ruin it, if my own sinfulness didn't ruin it, nothing is going to ruin it. What we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is sure and certain. And more than that, we have the earnest of the Spirit, which is the pledge of the whole inheritance of grace. If He's given us the Spirit and caused us to know that Jesus is the Christ, and in knowing the Christ, we know the Father, and whom to know is life eternal. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus according to His own free purpose and will. So when the church comes home, there won't be any strangers among them. There won't be any intruders. They will all have some common experiences. First of all, they will all have been crucified in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll all have been buried with Him, slept in the grave with Him, risen with Him, and seated in His throne. According to the purpose of God. The Apostle Paul said, and there's a wealth of information in this, I am crucified with Christ. look at Romans. Chapter 6, verse 4. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. We died with Him. We were baptized into His death. Now, it's not water baptism. Water baptism is a declaration of ours that we were a participant, that we had a part in, a covenant union part in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, being crucified with Him. That's what our baptism declares. This is baptism of the Spirit, wherein we are all by one Spirit baptized into one body of Christ. And by that baptism, we are made to know our inheritance of grace. And then look at Ephesians 2, 5 and 6. Ephesians 2, 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sins, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He hath loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. We raised up together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and hath made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come He might show forth the exceeding riches of His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Now, all of those things, believers are partakers of those things together. Now, turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Now, when we take the cup and we drink the cup, that is our testimony to ourselves and to the world. That's our acknowledgement that God has taught us that we had a part. We are sharers. We have fellowship. We have communion. We have title to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath life.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's our sharing. That's our interest. That's our covenant part in the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it acknowledges all that I've just spoken of. It acknowledges God's thoughts toward us in eternity past. It acknowledges God's purpose toward us in eternity past. It acknowledges a covenant of grace. It acknowledges the mediator of the covenant. It acknowledges his finished work. It acknowledges all that the three persons of the Godhead determined before the foundation of the world. There's nothing you can do to thwart the purpose of God. I don't care how ugly you are, how bad you act. We got some examples. Look at the Apostle Peter. He denied three times and he cursed. I don't know the man. He denied his Redeemer three times. I would have too, probably. Well, no, probably about it. If I'd been put in Peter's place and if the Spirit of God had left me, I'd have done the same thing. David looked out and saw Bathsheba. Had her husband murdered and committed adultery with her. There's nothing you can do. It's going to change the determinate counsel of God concerning you. Now, what ought we to do? Well, we ought to do the very best we can. In order to justification? No. Out of love and gratitude, seeing what wonderful things God has done for us. We ought to live the best we can be. We ought to be the best employees we can be. We ought to try to do better than anybody else on the job. Because he's got a banner over us. And his banner over us is love. So he hath saved us and called us according to his own purpose and grace. Now let's go back here to 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not our share, our portion, our part, our union with God in Christ in the covenant of grace? It is not the communion of the blood of Christ. Now, look at Hebrews. Hold your finger out there and turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Without shedding of blood is no remission. If the Lord's blood hadn't have been shed, our sins wouldn't have been removed. They wouldn't have been removed from Him. They were laid on Him. They were imputed to Him. And without His blood having paid the penalty that we deserved, He wouldn't have been justified. He was raised from the dead through the power of His own blood. We are going to be raised from the dead by the same power. Amen. This is my blood. We have communion, a sharing, a part, fellowship. Our resurrection's already taken place. I am the resurrection, He said. And not only that, I am the life. He is our life. The cup of blessing which we bless is not the communion of the blood of Christ, the bread which we break. Is it not the communion of the body of Christ? I'm in that body. We have our place in the body. We're all 1 Corinthians 12:27. We're right close right there. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. That's our community. That's our. We have our place. We are stones. Lively stones or living stones in the house of God. For we being many are one bread. That's that body, the bread of God, or the bread of God is He which cometh down, giveth life unto the world, and His body, which is the church. For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Well, look at Romans 12:5. Romans 12:5. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another.
Amen. Amen.
We are the body of Christ, and we're members one of another. So you better like one another here. And we ought to, because we have the same nature from Him.
Amen.
Like-minded people ought to be able to get along. Love one another as I have loved you. Sorry as I am, the Lord has loved me. Well, you ought to too. All right.